RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Victory Monday, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Y'all know the drill. We don't start the party, we don't finish the party, we just keep the party rolling. Not just a Victory Monday for the Commanders, by the way. We are game day today for VCU basketball. So AWOD Radio takes over at noon. He's over at Capitol Ale House. He'll be live over there. He's at VCU tonight. He does the pregame and the halftime show for VCU Hoops. Some great interviews coming up in hour number two. We got to do Commanders first. I love VCU. Love the Rams. Love this season. Can't wait to break that one down for you tomorrow. They got to wait until hour number two, though. These are the rules. That's what I say. Phil Russell and Brandon Jennings. My conversation with those two guys at 11 o'clock today. And then at 11:45, Zeb Jackson, senior leader of this team. You'll see a lot of him tonight and in the weeks to come. Hopefully not too much of him tonight. Hopefully we don't see him for the final 10 to 15 minutes or so out there. It's VCU Bellarmine game night tonight, 7 o'clock down at the Stew. New season starts. We'll dive into that in a second. We'll get to the Hokies. I have Brent Pry thoughts. I do. We'll go deep on that 10-15. Because we got to get those out of the way. He's struggling. He's now 1-11 in one score games. And when is that no longer, you know, bad luck? But a trend, we're there. This was the Vandy game all over again. This was a tough loss, and I didn't expect the win. You know that. I was saying all week, and I think a lot of Tech fans were saying all week, you knew this would be a tough game. To lose like that, though, a tough way to lose on the road in overtime in a game where they had a chance to maybe make some decisions that could have kept them on the right track. Missing two dudes, Kyron Drones and Bashal Tootin. You don't have either of them. Colin Schley comes in, plays very well. They get a great rushing attack. Loved what I saw from Coney and Thomas, obviously. Jalen Lane contributes a handful of carries as well. In the end, it's there's so many reasons you can point to, and there's so many other factors. And yeah, Syracuse has a really great quarterback. It's tough to lose games like this in a year where you're told this is the year. And not just that, but you see it. This was the year you bring back everybody in a sport where that's basically impossible to do. Probably won't be able to do that next year. They bring back more production in just about any school in America. They stumble to the finish line, though. Second overtime loss. Echoes of Vandy in this one, and a tough loss for a lot of reasons. Keeps them out of that top echelon. There's three teams now left in the ACC race, in my opinion. You know, it's Clemson, it's Miami. Clemson gets knocked down a peg. I think SMU, with their schedule, has to be considered a favorite right now to be in that ACC title game. So you're probably looking at SMU against Miami, with Clemson on the outside looking to steal that playoff spot. I don't think Pitt can get it anymore. After their loss this week, UVA goes out there this weekend. Chance to bounce back for Pitt. So tough loss for the Hokies. And they'll bounce back. We'll talk about it. They got some big games down the stretch, starting with a really big game, 3:30 this week against Clemson. And then, of course, the UVA game to finish the season. Got to win that one. But it stung because you put those two back on the board. The Vandy in this one, It just could have been different. You get the sense this season, you know, hinged on a couple key decisions, a couple key moments, and that's painful to think about. About 10 minutes, we'll dive further into the Hokies. We'll have plenty of ECU as well, as I mentioned, it's VCU game night. But this is what I want to talk about. The Washington Commanders are 7-2. And by the way, we almost had the perfect day in the NFC. So the Cowboys lose in Atlanta. I'm not even going to dignify the Cowboys by spending a segment on them today laughing at them. That's how I feel about the Cowboys. They are irrelevant until further notice. Not even worth the segment to laugh at them. Kirk Cousins takes care of business against the Cowboys. They slide further into irrelevancy. The Eagles, man, Trevor Lawrence had a shot late in the game. Eagles missed the field goal. Trevor Lawrence comes down, throws the interception. Would have loved to have seen that one through. If the Jags beat them, Doug Peterson in Philly, late comeback win with Trevor Lawrence, man, that's the stuff high-quality meltdowns are made of in the city of brotherly love. Unfortunately, they squeak it out. They've got the Cowboys this week, then that Thursday nighter in Philly sneaking up on us now. What is that, 11 days away now, 10 days away now? Thursday nighter in Philly. I think we'll be up there for that. I think this isn't quite like when I say, like, I'll be at things. I think we'll actually be at this one. It'll be a ton of fun. But the Commanders are 7-2 right now. I'll give my observations in that game at 10:30. But man, here's what you need to know. This is not a fluke, and this is not scheduling. This is a really good football team. And for Jaden Daniels, finding ways to win. What a great NFL lesson for him. What a great way for him to get a little momentum going, coming back from the injury. And you can say he's fine all you want. On the Fox broadcast, he's fine. There's no restrictions. There's not no restrictions when you hang out with the big thing around your ribs during every timeout. On the other hand, he was doing everything he needed to do. He ran the ball. He made the plays, right, when he needed to make the plays. When it's fourth down and he needs a yard, Jaden Daniels gets the yard. He doesn't miss that last yard. And I think that's one of the things that's really, really fun to watch when this kid plays. And then the rest of the roster, without B-Rob, coming right in behind him. A great day to be a Commanders fan. Hopefully you enjoyed the call right here on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We'll have the game rewind for you tomorrow at 11, as we always do. It's become one of our favorite segments, mainly because when we do it, we talk about winning and not losing, which is way more fun. You throw that Hail Mary last week on the pile. These guys have won games in so many different ways. And the Giants come out, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Felt like we're throwing back to Gerald Ford's going to come out there with the leather helmet and start playing football for the Giants in the second half. They had a plan. They executed their plan. They said, look, I don't think we're as talented as these guys. We're going to have to find a way to win on our strengths. And Daniel Jones, of course, always dangerous with his legs, as he was this week as well. He makes the plays when he needs to make the plays against these guys. But Jaden Daniels answers the bell. And I talk about this every week, how good this team is right before halftime. It's just so nice to be on a team, to root for a team, to watch a team that knows how to manage the clock, that knows how to use its timeouts. Because the Giants botched it. The Giants botched it around the two-minute warning, didn't keep the pressure on by applying the timeout before the two-minute warning. These guys, though, they are so good at maximizing those possessions and finding a way. And that Terry McLaurin touchdown, what a beautiful ball from Jaden Daniels. Turns a 14-7 lead into a 21-7 lead and the ball to start the second half. That's the stuff that these wins are made of, and that's Dan Quinn, and that's Cliff Kingsbury coaching their butts off. Were there things to improve? Yeah, there were things to improve. That's why this win was impressive to me, right? Some weeks you come on and say, hey, they won, but there's stuff they need to work on. There's stuff they need to work on, but they won. That's the order today. Because this is a team that wasn't at its best, didn't have all its guys, but schemed and fought and big played its way to victory and found a way to make just enough plays to hold the Giants at arm's reach. Some big turnovers, some big, big moments in this game where you say, okay, these guys understand how to win an NFL game. It's not going to come easy every week, and it's not going to be exciting every week. It's not going to be 40 points every week. But when they need to win ugly and don't have B-Rob, here's Chris Rodriguez. Here's Austin Eckler, and they're going to be just fine. They're going to fill in. They're going to find a way to do it and get the Commanders 7-2, first time since the 1996 football season. That is pre-Dan Snyder. That's back at RFK. This is the first time they'll be playing at 7-2 in Northwest Stadium, FedEx Field, whatever you want to call it. In the Landover era, it's never happened before. It's time to jump on board. If you're not on board already, I think most of you guys are on board. You see, the kid's fun. The team's fun. It's a great collection of players, and they're doing some things, and they're making some noise. This is a playoff team. Go ahead and make your plans now. You're going to be watching January football with these guys. Teams that are 7-2 in the NFL, don't miss the playoffs. And again, I say it every week, road's not always going to be silky smooth from here on out. I think the Steelers are going to be just a heck of a test, and obviously we know the Eagles are really good. But on the whole, this is the real deal. This is a team that can win in a lot of different ways, that's bought in to doing the little things, the hustle plays, the chip blocks, the offensive line stunts, all the things you need to do to be a successful team. And I love that Noah Brown is stepping up as a number one receiver. The better he is in that role, the more Terry McLaurin's going to get the action, right? Because the defensive game plan right now, double team Terry, see if anybody else can beat you. Noah Brown catching 5 of his 6 targets. That's how you get Terry more involved. And Terry knows that too. I love force feeding Terry the 1-yard touchdown. Make sure he gets something to celebrate. Then he gets another one. So he's got a double something to celebrate. But on a day where it didn't come easy, where the Giants grinded out some possessions, then the Commanders had to grind out some possessions, that last clock-eating drive, just a thing of beauty. This isn't just a team that plays good football. This is a team that understands how and when to play good football. And you see it in the results. They're 7-2. Probably just keep saying that in disbelief all show long. They're 7-2. Monday, MP on the mic is off and rolling. I want to dive into the Hokies for a bit. We're right back to the Commanders at 10:30, though. My chat with Phil Russell and Brandon Jennings at 11. It's VCU game night. You're listening to the home of the Commanders and the home of the Rams and the home of the Hokies in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Keeping this show rolling. We cannot go another minute without acknowledging the great 8, Alex Ovechkin. It takes a lot to break through on the Victory Monday show. It takes a lot to break through during football season. 2 goals, 1 weekend, that'll do.
Near wing for Ovechkin. And Protas with some room. Here comes Strome. The D trying to get back for Columbus. Strome will stick handle across to Ovechkin. He scores! Alex Ovechkin buries it from the top of the left circle. 5:26 to go. It's 4-0 Washington.
John Walton on the Capitals Radio Network. Yeah, it takes a lot for me to talk hockey on a football Monday, and I'm quite aware the Commanders are 7-2. It takes a lot to talk about something else when the Commanders are 7-2, when the Hokies had a big eventful game, when it's a VCU basketball game night, but we've got to give Alex Ovechkin his props because he is on fire. Huge 7-2. They go to 7-2 with the win on Saturday night. They fall to Carolina 4-2 last night, but man, it's just an incredible run by these guys who are now 8-3, but more importantly, maybe not more importantly, but equally importantly, I think the two go together. Alex Ovechkin scores twice over the weekend, 7 goals this season, 34 away from tying Wayne Gretzky as the greatest goal scorer of all time. It's within sight, folks. And the way this team's playing, he's going to have more opportunities. I love everything about this. So we'll go deep on the Capitals as the season goes on. Certainly once we turn out the lights on football, we'll give them our full attention. But you need to know for right now, something special is happening down there on F Street, and Alex Ovechkin is rolling so far this season. People who were rolling and then it came to an abrupt stop, Bashal Tutin and Kyron Drones are the 1-2 punch that makes the Hokies go. They're both great players, both among the best in the nation, which is why it was not a great sign when both got scratched an hour before Saturday's game against Syracuse. Neither guy going. It's time for the backups to shine. And for a little while, they did.
Schley takes the snap. SU rushes three, drops eight. Schley lets it go right side. Gosdell a catch on the 20, down to the 10. Wrestled down inside the 5. What a beautiful throw from Schley. Bellamy saves the touchdown after a 44-yard catch. And the Hokies are knocking on the door again.
It's Colin Schley filling in at quarterback. He transferred here from UCLA, and he's playing some good football. He's got Tech up 14-3, and the running game's rolling. Jeremiah Coney, Malachi Thomas, they're filling in very nicely. And so you say, okay, things could happen. And then the defense makes a play, and you're saying, oh, okay, I like where this is headed.
Wide to the left side. He's one of six Virginians on the SU team, guarded by Delane. Snap comes back. McCord looking to throw. Going to throw it to Yamari. He and Delane battling. Ball in the air. Intercepted by Delane. Hokies get it on the touchback. Down the sideline, there was some hand fighting going on between a couple of kids, Mike, from the DMV. And it ends up in a Virginia Tech INT.
Yeah, you down DMV? Yeah, INT and something like that. I don't know. We'll make up the words as we go. Don't worry about it. What you need to know is Hokies played good football, and certainly missing their two top offensive weapons, I thought they made the most of it. The other thing you need to know is these are long games, and it's hard to sneak one over on anybody in a college football game, right? And not that it's easy in the NFL. But the NFL games are 3 hours. They keep the clock moving. They keep it running. There are times in an NFL game where you know the game's over. Those times do not exist in college football games. The game is never over. The comeback's always within reach. I don't think it was the offensive coordinating. I love that they're still getting creative towards the end there.
They're going to do a direct snap to who? Direct snap to Thomas. Malachi fakes the pitch, runs forward, breaks a tackle, has the first down.
There you go.
Both Schley and Thomas were in the backfield. Both guys were acting as if they were calling signals, calling for the ball. You had no idea where it was going. It was almost like the hidden ball trick.
Yes, the old hidden ball trick. All right, so good things are happening for the Hokies. Syracuse comes back, and then, look, You can't say it's not coincidence or he's been unlucky. We got to just say what it is. Brent Pry has not been good in close games as the Hokies coach, right? Close games are generally speaking a coin flip, right? In the NFL, we talk about this all the time. If a team loses a lot of close games one season, generally speaking, it will even out over the course of the next year. There's regression to the mean there. All the teams are about the same level of good. All the teams are able to pull out close games at about the same rate. Now, when you flip a coin, sometimes you're going to have a run ahead. Sometimes you're going to have a run of tails. These things even out over time. Sometimes you're lucky. Sometimes you're unlucky. College football is not quite the same, because in college football, there's always another play. There's always another moment. These games extend, and late game strategy, especially when the teams are wearing down, especially when the injuries were piling up and Colin Schley did not look good late in the game and he's still out there. Those things matter when you're talking about football, in college football in particular, and Brent Pry. If the Hokies games had ended at the 2-minute timeout, not the 2-minute warning, it's college, the 2-minute timeout this year, they would be 8-0-1. They have led 8 of their 9 games with 2 minutes to go in the game, and they've been tied in the other. Instead, they play the whole 60 minutes, and these guys have struggled. Brent Pry has now played 12 games that have been settled by less than a score, or a one score game. Now, you can't be less than a score. One score games. Brent Pry has won one of those 12 games. And look, we can all point to things that didn't go right, that didn't go smoothly. I don't point to the sequence before halftime, by the way. They did give him the timeout back. He clarified that after the game. That's why he wasn't losing his mind, even though we were on TV. He had a timeout. We just didn't know watching on TV. But for Brent Pry, he's struggling in these overtime games. And dang if Syracuse didn't get him right out of the gate, get this defense off guard, and took care of business right away in the overtime period.
McCord is the only man in the backfield, takes the snap, shovel pass to Allen, runs up the middle, gets to the 10, and he's down on the 9. So a 16-yard run by Allen.
That was kind of when I knew the way this one was going. And yeah, I'm going into the confused/sad radio voice here because I don't know. I don't want to come in here and blow up Brent Pry. Oh, Brent Pry, yeah, I did this and that. I did that after the Vandy game. This one's more just, this was the Vandy game again. This was an overtime game where I think they were more talented than the other team when they let the other team hang around and get a couple on them. And in overtime, didn't press the right buttons, didn't make the right moves down the stretch, had a quarterback who was cramping up, had called designed runs for him anyway. It's tough to watch the rerun. You know, right, the Vandy game, you're hot after it because, man, it's Vandy. It turns out Vandy's good. And by the way, Vandy beat Auburn. It actually happened. I love that so much. You know, I'd been waiting to see if Diego Pavia could get the better of Hugh Freeze again, and he did. Three-time winner there. But this was the Vandy game again. This was just an instant replay of the Vandy game, and I think that's what makes this particularly tough. It doesn't feel like we're learning. It doesn't feel like they're moving forward. And forget the Clemson game. Would have been fun. Would have been nice to have all the hype in Blacksburg this weekend. This is third-year coach stuff where you say they're not growing. They're not learning. Ian and I came in hot on Brent Pry after the Vandy game because I think that was a lot of the question marks was could he coach in game. Seeing it again, it's tough to watch again. Now, you're coming off a weekend, right, where Penn State's playing Ohio State. They're both amazing teams, and both fan bases want their coach fired, and hey, kids yelling at James Franklin as he walks off. And that's ridiculous. First off, neither of those coaches should be fired. And that's why I'm not going there with Brent Pry. And, you know, we'll process this over the last few weeks and see how the last few weeks go. It's tough because you want him to be the guy. He's a great recruiter. He's a great voice. He is great for the program. And then you watch in games, and you say, this team should be doing better than they are. And I think everybody who watches understands this team should be doing better than they are. It's tough. Tough to see. Tough to watch. Big game against Clemson this weekend. Chance to bounce back. Obviously, Clemson's coming in hot with their loss as well. So we'll see what happens. UVA JMU back in action this weekend as well. Be good to have a full weekend of college football. SMU beats Pitt. SMU now on the fast track to play Miami in the ACC title game. I think this is a good outcome for the ACC where you can get a team that if they win, SMU, Miami will still be in the playoffs. You would have two. If Miami wins, I think SMU's a tougher case, but you can maybe sneak Clemson in with their one loss. There's a lot going on. We'll untangle all that as the weeks go along. We got to get back to Commanders land, though. They are 7-2, and we're going to talk about it on the other side of this break. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
1FM. Victory Monday. This is the stuff you dream of. 7-2 for the Washington Commanders. It's no fluke. It's no accident. It's not scheduling. It's not luck. It's a darn good football team that showed they can win in a very different way. And I'm excited to get into this one. A great win for them. Before we get there, around the NFL for a second, because I feel like we need to give Derek Carr a second here. He is the New Orleans Saints quarterback. Derek Carr made NFL history with the Panthers beating the Saints yesterday. He is now the first quarterback to lose to 31 different NFL teams. Nobody's ever done that before. 30's been done. 30 has been done by 10 quarterbacks. Now, Carr stands alone. Derek Carr has lost to 31 teams. By the way, the team he's never has never lost to is the Raiders, and that's who he played for most of his career. He plays them in week 17 this year. So we're going on record watch. Four quarterbacks in NFL history have beaten all 32 teams. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and Brett Favre. Obviously all-time great quarterbacks who got traded or left their team and had a second act somewhere else and thus got a chance to beat their original team. So that's a wild one. Wild week all around in the NFL. Some good finishes. The Bills take care of business. I think they're the first playoff team at this point, basically, sitting at 7-2. The Jets are 3-6. I guess that's the closest competition they've got. But the Bills have the tiebreaker on them. Congrats to the Bills for making things happen. Panthers get their win. How about the Cowboys losing? Before we go to the Commanders, how about the Cowboys losing? How about them Cowboys? 3-5. 3-5 this year is officially a two-horse race here. Eagles and Commanders. Man, we were so close to that being a dream NFC East day. Trevor Lawrence throws the interception. The Eagles escape with the win. They're 6-2. That would have been a nice loss in terms of, you know, the Philly fans coming unraveled. Unfortunately, it stays glued together for another week. We're now about a week and a half from that Thursday nighter up there after the Steelers game this week for the Commanders. Cardinals beat the Bears. A surprise outcome. Bears reeling from the Hail Mary, maybe? I don't know. They looked really good before the bye. They've looked lost since it. And the Lions, 7-1. Lions and Chiefs, clearly the class of the NFL at the moment. Rams with a nice win over the Seahawks as well. Geno Smith, the interceptions there, very uncharacteristic. Propping that door open for Matthew Stafford to maybe make a late season run on the 49ers, who had the week off this week. That's not the good stuff. Here's the good stuff injected straight into my veins.
Three wide receivers to the left, empty backfield. Jade loads one up towards the end zone, towards McLaurin. He catches it! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Perfect throw from Daniels to McLaurin!
Scary Terry playing peekaboo post-Halloween with the New York Giants. Love to see it. Love to see them win this way, where they have to grind it out. B-Rob's not there. Certainly got some great performances in relief. Loved Austin Eckler. Love what he was bringing to the table. Chris Rodriguez had a nice game as well. But this was Jaden's show, and Jaden put the ball where he needed to, when he needed to. He makes just enough big play. They convert the third downs. They convert the fourth downs. They're 11 for 11 converting fourth downs. It's an insane statistic. All of these statistics are insane. They're 7-2, folks. I keep coming back to that because, OMG, they're 7-2. What a season to be a Commanders fan and to be a Jaden Daniels fan. And look, the conversions, the making the big plays, all of that's impressive. The touchdown right before halftime there to Terry. I mean, the perfect ball placement, right? The Bram screams. I just say things like, "Wow, that's an incredible play." One of many he's had this year. The most impressive stat, folks: 3 turnovers since the start of the season. They've played 9 games, and the Washington Commanders have turned the ball over 3 times this season. They are averaging a turnover every third game. They play 60 minutes, they play another 60 minutes, and then they have a game with 1 turnover. Simply incredible. That is the best start to a season in NFL history. 0 turnovers through 9 weeks, and certainly not surprising to see that stat, because that is not just hard to do, that's nearly impossible to do. And Jane got lucky in week 1. They should have had more in week 1 when he fumbled the ball a couple times. He hadn't been lucky since. He's been good since. He's been protecting the ball. He's been taking what they give him. He's been keeping the defense on its toes, and he's been running it when he needs to. It's all very, very impressive. I will say this. The one play, and they did a great job keeping him clean again. The one play where I was worried was the one play where he ran out into space again, right? He had the play where he sprints out, he's ahead of the play, and then he's looking to shut it down after his 20-yard gain, and he can't. He doesn't slide it. He just awkwardly gets down. It was really reminiscent of the injury play. This guy's kryptonite is not sacks, it's not quarterback pressures, it's not big hits. This guy's kryptonite is apparently 20-yard uncontested gains, because you know how to shut down the play if he can't run out of bounds. That it's strange to me. There's a lot of strange things going on. But that's one of them. That his highest injury risk sure seems to be on plays where the defense can't touch him and they scheme it up really well. I'm giving credit to the O-line on this one. O-line kept him clean. Great pockets. Great day for them. Great to see Brandon Coleman back. Great to see, you know, Sam Cosmi playing at a high level. Great to see Nick Allegretti. Really great to see Tyler Biadasz continue to dominate. I think he's probably, I'm going to give my game ball to Biadasz. I think he's probably the key to this O-line resurgence. He has been putting everybody in the right spots, getting everybody where they need to be. This has been, you know, we're 9 games in, we can say it. This has been a really good offensive line this year. I think Biadasz is a big part of that. I also think the running back's willingness to block and chip block and do what needs to be done, I don't think you can overlook that as a big factor in this success as well. And Austin Ekeler had himself a great game. 11 carries, 42 yards, another 3 catches for 41 in the air. Fantastic day. Jaden took off 8 times. Jeremy McNichols, who I haven't mentioned, played really well as well. Noah Brown, after the Hail Mary, week after the Hail Mary, keeps it rolling on that end. Just an exciting time, a great time to be a Commanders fan, and really exciting stretch run coming here. Commanders and the Eagles, not a lot of daylight separating these two teams. I think the Eagles have the better roster. I think the Commanders have the better coaching. I think the Commanders have the more long-term stability. And then you get that Adam Schefter report before the game, right? Adam Schefter says, hey, it's a trade deadline Tuesday. Guys want to play in Washington. And obviously tomorrow during the show, we'll keep an eye on the trade deadline. Lots of moves always fly on that last day. I don't think these guys are going to be active movers. We'll see, though. You never know. Yeah, defense, credit to the defense. I mean, the usual suspects were there. Bobby Wagner still playing at a crazy high level. Jeremy Chin, I thought, was really one of the players of the game. Seemed like we were calling his name all the time as well. But that, you know, St. Juice has the pass interference, but I love how he plays fearlessly. He just doesn't let that stuff bother him. And I think that's really cool. Just the way he's going to play his game. He's not a CB1. He's a CB2. He's out of position, but he's not going to change who he is. He's not going to play scared. Scare money don't make money. Somebody tell Brent Pry that pronto, because he doesn't know that. But the Commanders do, and they're playing really good football right now. Coming into what should be an amazing stretch here, where you've got 3 great games, Steelers, Eagles, Cowboys. The thing I love about this stretch so much, well, you get the bye on the other side. You get the Cowboys with the extra rest. Even if you lose all 3, and I don't think they will, but even if you do, You're 7-5. You're still a playoff team coming into the easy stretch of the schedule where they can make some hay down the stretch. I don't know what to make of this Steelers game. We'll talk about it as the week goes on. But what I love was when they needed to put on the hard hat and get a win against the New York Giants, they did. And they swept the Giants, and that cannot be underestimated. This is a team that comes to fight every single game. Victory Monday, man. Enjoy it. It's victory week again. Hopefully VCU basketball tonight gives us another win to talk about. We just keep piling these suckers up. Love it so much. Monday show rolls on. You're listening to MP on the mic. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, let's bring it home on a victory Monday. Apologies to the Hokies, not a victory Monday for them, but the Commanders put on their hard hat, got a very nice win in New York, go to 7-2. Enjoy it, folks. 1996, yeah, that's pre-Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder team never advanced to 7-2. Dan Snyder team didn't win 11 games either. A lot of things in play for these guys. It's a special, special team. We're hoping for two special years this year. The other one, of course, VCU basketball. They tip off tonight at the Siegel Center, VCU Bellarmine, 7 o'clock. Get there early for the pregame. Get to the fan early for the pregame with AWOD. You can go hear it live out there in the, whatever they call the place where the rich people congregate before the game. Adam is their designated entertainment, I believe, again this year. And, of course, he's back at halftime with the halftime show on the fan. Going to be really fun to see this lineup. One of the guys I was really excited to see come back, aside from Max Shulga, I think for the obvious reasons, was Zeb Jackson. Zeb's got that leadership quality. He's got that big game nature to him. I mean, he came from, you know, a Power 5 program, right? And so he knows his way around the basketball court, but he's also a great presence to have and a great mentor to a lot of these guys. And I love what he's brought to the team. We had a chance to chat last week ahead of tonight's opener. Here is my conversation with Zeb Jackson. Hanging out with Zeb Jackson. Last time we saw you out here, you were saying, you know, it wasn't a sure thing you were going to come back. You wanted to take some time, think on it. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe share with us what that process was like and what led you back here?
I kind of had an idea that I was going to come back. Pretty soon, even like during NIT, I would say. Obviously that wasn't like a main focus, but yeah. I kind of knew I was most likely coming back, but I kind of just kept it at that just so that I could take some time to not think about basketball.
That's smart.
Just take a little break, not having people ask me about it, stuff like that, but yep. Pretty early on I knew this is what I wanted to do, and it was mainly just for the opportunity to take another big step in terms of basketball and as a person. So I think last year when the new staff came in, they really helped me grow in both of those aspects, and I wanted another year to be able to spend some time with them and get to do that.
That's awesome. Hey, several of the guys today have told me you're the leader of the team. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you, and how does that play itself out?
That's awesome to hear. I think I definitely, and me and Coach Bryce talk about it a lot, but I definitely have been trying to make it an emphasis to really love guys versus trying to, like, the term we use is, like, lording them. Like, as a leader, it's not about do this, do that, or, like, trying to, like, make people followers. It's about just trying to, like, love them and guide them. And a huge part of being a leader is having people's trust and having, like, personal relationships with them, not just trying to lead them on the basketball court. So I've had people, obviously Coach Bryce is one of them, but it's such a great group of guys that where it's like, they help me grow. As much as like it's good to hear that they think I'm a leader, like they help me, they lead me in so many ways as well.
That's cool. And that's, you know, whatever you do with your life, like those are skills.
For
leading
sure.
People, guiding people, stuff like that.
For sure.
That's awesome. The familiarity with the staff, that everybody coming back, mm-hmm. I know that part of the excitement of coming back, what's that meant as a basketball team in terms of you guys are able to start at a different place maybe than you were last year?
I think it's huge because the transfer portal is pretty crazy, and it's hard to, like, we have a core values, we have a culture here that we want to continue to build on, and it gets hard to do that when there's a different set of guys every year and there's no one to really guide in that other than the coaches. It's a lot things seem to move a lot faster.
Yeah.
And things seem to move a lot faster when you have the coaches leading, obviously, but then you have players leading each other as well. Because it's good to hear it from your peers, not always hearing it from the coaches. So I think that's huge that we're able to have guys come back that know the culture, know the style of play, know the staff. And you, at this point, like, you're bringing guys along versus trying to figure it out all at once.
Yeah. Is that part of the motivation come back to you, Max? I mean, you know, you've been around here long enough to know there's been some special teams here, not to put the pressure on you.
Nah, for sure.
You guys see, you maybe have the makings of one of those.
For sure.
That opportunity.
Yeah, nah, I mean, it's awesome. Obviously, with social media and stuff like that, it's easy to hear a lot of opinions, easy to hear a lot of voices. And it's just important for us to not get caught up in that, knowing that, obviously, that is a possibility for us to do big things. But that's the pressure we put on ourselves, and it's important for us to embrace that pressure and not be overwhelmed by it. And, yeah, I'm happy, like, we have the guys coming back that we have. I think it makes a huge difference.
Nice. I'll wrap up with this. You got so many shooters. You got so much talent out there. What's this offense going to look like when we see it this season?
The idea is for it to look a lot more smooth this year than last year. Obviously, we had a lot of new guys trying to come together and figure it out at the same time. But this year, just moving the ball a lot more smooth, knocking down more shots. Obviously, we've had time to just work on our individual games and, just getting everything smoother. Knowing when things break down or when plays don't work, how to go to the next thing versus kind of like just playing iso ball or playing one-on-one or just getting a ball screen. That's all little stuff we want to continue to improve on.
That's awesome. Well, good luck this season. Appreciate it, man.
Hey,
Zeb Jackson, VCU tips off its season tonight against Bellarmine. Tonight's not the main event. Main event this week be Friday night up in Annapolis against Boston College. Of course, we'll get you sufficiently ready for that right here on The Fan. Just so many good storylines there. One, ACC against A-10. Always fun to see the ACC against the A-10 in any context and see if they can't represent for the conference and for a league that has designs on taking that step forward and being in a higher national profile this year. Chad Venning, the St. Bonaventure big who foiled these guys a couple times last year, going to be lining up on the other side. So that's going to be a ton of fun in that one as well. First, though, tonight's game. I want to get through tonight's game without incident. Obviously, it'd be great to see some of these young kids in the second half. That'd mean good things happened in the first half. And it'd just be fun to see some of the young kids because I think there's a lot of potential on this roster, and you heard some of our conversations over the last few days with the VCU players, and this is a fun team and has the makings of a really good team. They're going to shoot the ball. They are going to shoot some threes. That is how they will live and die this year, it all starts tonight on the Siegel Center floor, 7 o'clock. I'll be out there. Should be a ton of fun. Election Day show tomorrow, so we'll look forward to that. I guess, I don't know, we won't know anything tomorrow, but we'll have a show, and we'll do Commanders Game Rewind as we do, take you through some of the best plays, and break down the game after having a chance to see the tape a little bit, and of course, VCU post-game as well. Hopefully a player interview or two to pass along to you there. All that tomorrow, though. Right now, AWOD Radio, live and local for the next 3 hours. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.